Father God, I just thank you that you've given us the power of the attorney to operate in your place, to speak and act for you in the name of Jesus. And Jesus, that's such a profound responsibility. It's a wonderful privilege, but a profound responsibility. Now, as we teach this last lesson in this series on power of attorney, I ask that your anointing will go forth, that you'll open up the eyes of the hearts of our friends, our listeners, our power partners. They'll realize what a phenomenal supernatural opportunity they have to operate in the name of Jesus. We cover this teaching with the blood of Jesus. Amen.
There in this Bible that we read out of every day is the bestseller in the whole world. It is touted to be the best read, although I doubt that. But it a lot of people say I read the Bible. It lays on most coffee tables in a lot of the homes in the United States. And many people think this is a wonderful word from the Lord. And it has great stories in it. And
what you're saying is they treat it as a historical instrument.
Yes, that's what I was getting to. Yes,
it's a living word.
And what I have found in the reading all these years of the Word of God is that it's a how-to book. And this fourth lesson that we're teaching on power of attorney, we're going to go into the book of Acts because it is one of the most profound how-to books in the whole Bible. It talks about what the apostles did, and this is a transferable. I love what you say. These lessons here in the Bible are transferable concepts. They can be transferred from one person to another through teaching. And as we go through Acts today, I pray that you, as you're listening, will recognize that what the apostles did then, you are given the authority to do now, today, in this day and age. And we've entitled this, I love this title, it's called Acts, Authority in Action. And that's one that you decided upon, and it's a great title. I love that, authority in Acts.
One thing we need to keep in mind is that it says in Hebrews 13:8, that Jesus is the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Now, that is a tremendous statement when we say, here this man, this personality, this part of the Godhead, Jesus, the Son of God, is the same today, as he was in Bible times. Well, then this study on the teaching of the power of authority will mean a lot more to us.
That's right. It sure will. And our first scripture that we look at is in Acts 2, where Peter is absolutely bold in the Lord. Now, this is the same disciple you read about who denied Jesus. He was so scared. And then they waited in the upper room in the first chapter of Acts, and they were filled with Holy Spirit. And one of the evidences of being filled with Holy Spirit is power and boldness. And here Peter is saying in Acts 2:32 and 33, that God, who raised up Jesus, who is now sitting at the right hand of God, sent Holy Spirit, and he has been poured out on all of these people that you see. This is Peter speaking, that you both see and hear. Now, this manifestation of Holy Spirit, the baptism of Holy Spirit, is something you can not only see, but you hear. And that's why so many of us believe that tongues is the initial manifestation of the filling of Holy Spirit, Darren, because you can hear it and you can see it.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, and I think you're bringing out something here. There's really a convergence here of the seen world and the unseen world. Mm-hmm. Words really are spiritual. Now, we hear them in the natural, but they really are of spiritual quality. And, when I think about the concept of words, and every day I'm pestering the Lord, very honestly, to teach me more about the power of words, concept of words. Why did you do things on words, like beginning in Genesis 1? He spoke the worlds into existence. He said, let there be. And he had confidence that he could back up his words, and he did. He backed it up right there in Genesis chapter 1 in creation. Well, I just think that's just such a tremendous, tremendous thing, and it blesses me beyond what I can tell you.
And like what you said in Hebrews 13:8, that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, here in Acts 2:39, Peter brings out the fact that this promise is for you who are listening. This promise is for your children and for all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call to himself. So he is saying here, all those who are believers in Christ Jesus, who have made Christ Jesus Lord, this promise of power and boldness and manifestation of all these healings and wonderful miracles that we're going to go through in the book of Acts, Darren, that is for everybody. Today, that promise is for us.
Well, we can know as grandparents here, we have 9 grandchildren at this time, and we can know that the same power can be for our children and our grandchildren.
Yes, praise
if
God.
If they take it.
Yes.
That has going to have to be their decision. But I'd like to stop and just talk about the basic concept of a power of attorney, Barbara. And that really is usually in the maker of a power of attorney, it's called the principal. He's the principal person involved or the institution involved as maker of the document. And then they hire somebody or they set into an agreement, and that person is called an agent. Now, the thing that intrigues me most about a power of attorney is that the maker of the instrument, in other words, the principal here, is liable to the fullest extent, legally, morally, in so many ways, for the actions and the words and the decisions of the agent.
Yes.
Now, in this case, Jesus was the maker of the instrument.
Yes, or God.
Or God.
Yes, we've talked about God, the lawgiver, and then Jesus, who he gave his authority to.
Now, you see, the Father gave Jesus really a power of attorney.
That's right.
And Jesus was speaking in the Father's name. He says, I don't do anything I don't see my Father do, or I don't say anything I don't hear him say. And he was God's representative on the earth, and he said, I've told you everything about the Father. Now, in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 21 through 23, it says, all things belong to you. You belong to Christ. Christ belongs to God. So we could say on the street language, that's a pecking order. Or we could say it's a chain of command. Mm-hmm. We belong to Jesus. Jesus belonged to the Father.
But all things belong to us, Darren. I love that verse of Scripture because we learn now that God, the authority Jesus had, he's given it to us as he's sitting at the right hand of God in heaven.
Now, I'll give you a very earthbound example. It's not in the book of Acts, but let's assume that we're neighbors. And let's just say that I have a car I want to sell, and you're my neighbor, and your name is Fred, and I come over and I say, Fred, I've known you for a long time, but I've got to be out of town for 2 weeks. I'm going to advertise this car in the Denver Post, and would it be okay if I'd use your phone number? Because I trust you to sell this thing. I've got to get rid of it. I want it out of here. I don't want to see it when I get back.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be out of my driveway and gone, gone, gone. Now, I won't go into all the reasons why I have to move that car, but I've got to sell it. So Fred says, yeah, I'll do that. Now, he's entered into an agency here. I'm the maker of the agreement. He said, yeah, I'll do that. And I might even probably would give him a written note, say, Fred here has the power of attorney to speak on my behalf, to sign for me, sign the title over to the buyer. Now, the persons call, and they come out to see the car, and I'm gone. I'm out of state. And my neighbor Fred here has the power of attorney to sell that car. Now, depending on what we said, you know, and if I said, now listen, you know, I'd like to get $2,000 for this car, but, you know, I'll let you know how many people call, how many people show up. I'd want it sold.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he might say, well, I got frustrated, Darren, after a week and a half, and the guy came along and offered me $25. I was so tired of messing with this thing. You told me I could do whatever, and I sold that car for $25.
Mm-hmm.
He would have the power of attorney to do that. He is acting on my behalf. I am liable for the very fact that he said, well, I know it's worth more, but I decided to take $25 for that car. I sold it. Here's your $25. When the guy came, by the way, Darren, he asked me if I had a power of attorney. And he made me prove I had a power of attorney so that I could act on your behalf. And I did, and I'm sorry I didn't get more for it, but I got $25 for your car.
So in a way, you're saying God, the maker of this contract, this Bible that we read, gave authority to Jesus, and by his death and resurrection, he and his promises all belongs to you.
That's right.
It says in 1 Corinthians 3, 21 and 22, then that means that we can choose to be ineffective, we can choose to be believers
That's
and
right.
go to heaven, but we can choose to be what I want to say is pew sitters. We go to church on Sunday and we sit in the pew.
You can be a low life.
That's right.
low life.
Or you can choose to be powerful in the
That's
name
right.
of God.
That's
He's
right.
given you those options in the Word.
You know, I'd say it this way. You can run your Christian life on a watch battery, one of those little old tiny round things,
mm-hmm.
or you can have atomic dunamis power of Holy
God.
Spirit. It's your choice.
We're going to look into this.
Well,
wow.
He has put that in our hands. And I'll tell you, folks, when He says, when Jesus says, all things for which you pray and ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. That's John chapter 14, verse 13. That is as clear an example of a power of attorney. And he's saying, I want you to go out there And I want you to do what I would do if I